Colossians chapter 1 here tonight as we continue going down here through the end of the chapter. And we're in verse number 23. We're going to be here for a little bit. There's a lot to this book. There's a lot going on in this book. And you can start breaking down. I mean, you know how I like to do it. We don't really want to leave any stone unturned. So we kind of go through and we can handle different things in the scriptures as they come up. That's why I like teaching verse by verse. Topical is good. You pick a topic, you teach on it, and you can do that for multiple lessons depending on what it is. But when you teach verse by verse, you're simply going through the Bible, allowing the Bible to say what it says and teach it as it comes up. And you'd be surprised how the Lord works that out and how the Lord illustrates that and orchestrates that. I remember teaching, I don't know what I was teaching through, in New York, and this kind of public, not great church thing happened, and I was not thinking of it right away, but Saturday night, that was my prepare time for teaching adult Sunday school on Sunday morning, and I'm reading through the next verses, and I call up my pastor, and I'm like, "Pastor, do you know where I am in Sunday school?" He's like, "I don't remember." I'm like, "I'm right here at this part. And like, this is going to be very, this is addressing the very public thing. Like, what do I do? You know, like, do you want me to do it?" And he's like, "Just do it. Just, you're there in the scriptures. The Lord has something for us." So it was like, "All right, turn in your Bibles." You know, like, okay, so elephant in the room, right? Here, we're going to address it here and out of the scriptures. But what happened? The Lord just lined it up, just put it right in place to handle things. So it's not always that big. It's not always that obvious. But going verse by verse allows us to cover many things in the scriptures as it comes. So Colossians chapter 1, we're going to back up to verse 21 and kind of read our way through here. We'll probably stop at 23. But verse 21, let's start there. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." All right, so 21, of course, aliens and enemies in your mind by wicked works. What is that? That is someone that's lost, someone that is separated from Christ. They don't see themselves that way, especially a religious person does not see themselves as alienated from God or enemies of God. Especially in our mind by wicked works, we all kind of justify that. We all justify our own actions, and that's not that bad. But we don't justify it according to our own opinion. We justify our works according to the scriptures. And so that's someone that's lost, and we understand that God has reconciled us. He's brought us back to himself in the body of his flesh, verse 22, through death. That's Jesus Christ on the cross. We get brought to God when we accept Jesus Christ as salvation, and us, I'm trying to say like four words at one time, never works out, all right? So I'm going to try to choose one at a time. Us that are saved and born again, we have been brought back to God. We were lost and without hope, and through salvation, now through our faith in Jesus Christ, in him alone, we are brought to God. We are brought in fellowship with God because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been given to us. And now we can enter the throne room boldly when we pray. We have access to God. And so thank God for all of those things. But it was through his death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection. And the Bible says to present you, 22, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So we covered standing and state. Now, I'm not going over all that again, but in a simplistic form, to kind of continue the thought of 23, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. When you got saved, God took your soul, which was credited with the sin that you committed in this body. All right. And that sin accredited to your soul was what was going to send you to hell when you die. All right. But then through salvation of Jesus Christ, your soul was made clean. It was separated from this old body. And now our soul in perfection, the moment we take our last breath. And hopefully the Lord comes back and we don't have to worry about it. All right. But whether that's sooner than we expect or whether that's much longer than we can imagine, whenever we take our last breath, our soul goes to heaven to be with God. Why? Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God has given us that righteousness to our soul. So he sees us in salvation as perfect. We're holy. We're unblameable. We're unreprovable, right? In the eyes of God, in our permanent condition because of salvation. Yet, well, we still live in this thing, right? This flesh. We still live in this thing right here. So along with that comes temptations and snares and us giving over to the lust of the flesh. And I don't always have, you know, when you hear the lust of the flesh, you think, oh, dark, deep. Listen, our flesh wants to do the opposite of the spirit. So I don't mean it has to be like the deepest, darkest sin. I just simply mean there is sin in lusting after food to let it control us. Yeah. All right, say, whoa, I wasn't expecting you to go there. I know, that's one of those touchy ones. It's one of those ones where the big round preachers, they don't often come in and preach those messages, right? But we're all kind of in our own way. We need to be able to control ourselves, right? But we can be snared and taken in by any lust of the flesh. It doesn't have to be like, oh, we don't talk about that type of sin, right? It doesn't have to be that. We can be overcome with the lust of the flesh to sit on our rear ends and be slothful. Yeah. And so, but we're overcome by these temptations. And what happens to us when we choose to do it? We sin against God. And so in these bodies, me and you, like we aren't always holy. We're not all, we can sometimes be blamed and we should sometimes be reproved. Right? But we should be striving after something. We should be striving to live for the Lord. Right? So although I know that we are going to choose to do the wrong thing, we don't have to. We can strive to follow after the Lord and live more holy and live unblameable and unreprovable. We should be striving to walk in that way. And that affects our relationship with the Lord. If you're saved and born again, you're a child of God. Whatever happens, you're going to heaven. But our relationship with God, well, that gets all messed up when we say, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then we find ourselves far away and, you know, right about the time we get in some trouble, we go, okay, Lord, I need you.
Amen.
And all the time we've been walking away from the Lord and now we're ready for him and he's merciful and he's gracious, but you know what we have to do? We have to get our way back there. Yeah. Lord, I want to draw close to you, but I don't even know where you are now. It's how far I've wandered, right? And so we need to get back close to the Lord. So our relationship is based on what we're doing in this life for the Lord Jesus Christ and what we're doing according to the scriptures. And so we are in one way perfectly holy, and in another way we should be trying to be holy. We're in one way unblameable before God. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2. And in another way we mess up and someone says, ah, man, they messed up their testimony. We are in one way unreprovable. We're perfect before God. We couldn't get any more perfect. And then in another way, our actions sometimes need some reproof from the Word of God or a close friend or the preaching of the Word, whatever it is, and God gives us a reproof. So in verse 23, he says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and we run the rest of the chapter here, he's not talking about if, as in the case of, well, if you don't do these things, you're going to lose your salvation. All right, that's not what is being addressed in the scripture. All right, but that's how people can read it. They can say, well, if if I do this thing, if I continue, but what if I don't continue? And that's a whole other Bible study, but we don't want to take this one verse that can be read wrong and have it overthrow all the other verses we know that fully give us the eternal security of the believer in the Scriptures. All right, so remember, there's this ultimate in salvation, and then there is our relationship right now with God. And we're going to stand before God one day at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be held accountable for our relationship with the Lord and what we've done after we got saved. We're not judged for being saved. We're at the judgment seat of Christ because we are saved. And that got us to that place, right? I mean, so when I was working at the electrical company, I was managing the electrical company, we would have reviews. We'd have a 90-day review for people that started working, a 90-day review. We'd have an annual review for workers. Well, you couldn't come off the street and not work for the company and get reviewed, right? That makes sense. You had to work for the company for 90 days in order to have your 90-day review, right? So standing at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not standing there as being judged whether we're going to get saved or not. You, if you are saved, you'll be there. It's your lifelong review. You've been saved, and you've worked for the Lord Jesus Christ for this many years, and let's go over that now, right? Let's see how that works out, right? And so that's what it is. And so we're going to stand there, and we're going to be judged for what we've done for the Lord. And so in verse 23, it says, if ye continue in the faith, all right, if ye continue in the faith, and that continuing is going forward and not quitting. And continuing what? In the faith. Not in faith, as in not in saving faith, that faith you had when you bowed your head and got saved. Not that faith, but in the faith. And we looked up those references and the faith and doctrine, right? In the faith and keeping the faith. And these things which ye assuredly believe. What is that? That is the faith. Those things that are taught, those things that are preached, those things that you learn out of the Word of God, that is encompassed in the faith. It's a collective, right? So I have faith in God for salvation. I had that faith when I got saved. I have faith in the Word of God, that it is true. I have faith that God's going to lead and guide and direct and take care of me. But in the faith, there are a lot of things in that Word of God that I have learned and continue to learn that are part of the faith. And so we are to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Now, when someone first gets saved, there's a whole lot to the faith, but they only know a couple things. And what do we encourage young Christians to do? Keep going. Yeah. Keep going for the Lord. Amen. Keep being faithful. Get a hold of the Word of God and put some of the Word of God in your heart and read the Word of God. We encourage young Christians and older Christians alike, come to church. Amen. Be there. It helps you and it'll help you grow. But there's a lot of things you learn along the way as you've lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of different things that you learn. And all of a sudden you learn this thing pleases the Lord and this thing is a snare to you and you should get rid of it in your life. And this thing you really enjoy, so that can't be a snare. You know, but man, every time I go near that, I seem to just fumble around and the Lord just reveals things to you. And you know, at first the Lord kind of reveals some things that you should get rid of. That's kind of how he usually starts because that's kind of the most obvious. And there's some things you're like, oh, if I'm a Christian, I shouldn't, you know. I think I've mentioned this story before. There was a man in our, a man that had gotten saved and started coming to our church in New York before I was there. And my pastor, we had a visitation time where we would go knock on doors and kind of like door hanging, but we'd knock and try to get people to talk to you, you know. And he was like, well, I'll go do that. And the pastor's like, yeah, come along, come with me. And so off they go, and he's like, I don't really know what to do or what to say or anything like that. He's like, no, my pastor's like, it's fine. Just come along, and when we knock on the door, if someone answers, you just pray. Just pray silently. You just stand there, and you just pray, you know, and say, Lord, help this situation. You know, sometimes you don't even know what to pray when you're not used to it all. And so they would go knock on a door, and they would get ready and go to the next door. And his name was Bob. And he'd... walk into the next door and say, well, what happened? Well, he didn't know. He smoked since he was like 8. What'd he know about it? And then all of a sudden, he's standing there one day, and they're out knocking on doors and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's like, I don't think I should be doing this. Amen. I don't think, you know, the old saying, you're telling people to stay out of hell, but yet you smell like you just came from there, you know? I don't think I should be doing this. What happened? The Lord started talking to him. The Lord started saying, that thing right there, you probably shouldn't do that, you know? And little things, and say, what happened? My pastor wasn't like, you can't come out with me, you're, you know. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't, knowing Pastor Roscoe, but, you know, he just let him grow a little bit. Amen. And he's like, I should quit doing this. And what happens? You start learning some things you should quit, and then you start learning there's some things you should do. Because it's not just quitting all the stuff. Then you should start doing some other things. Mm-hmm. And all that is like it's a growth process. What is it? It's in the faith. It's in the faith. So we're to continue in the faith. And the Bible says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. This is where we kind of finished up with this last time. Grounded and settled in the faith. That's what it's saying. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And this is where a lot of Christians, they don't quite get to this part. They don't ever quite get to the grounded and settled part. Look in chapter 2, Colossians 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Well, how are we to walk in Christ? Rooted and built up in him. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. We would say established. Same difference. And established in what? The faith. As how? How are you rooted, built up, and established in the faith? As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Taught of the Lord through your daily Bible reading. Taught of the preacher or the teacher that stands in the pulpit when you're in church and you're gleaning things from the Word of God and being faithful. It's being rooted and built up in Him. Being rooted, that's down. Built up, that's up. Right? You get that? We sang, how firm a foundation. Right? What's that foundation? That foundation is Jesus Christ. We get saved, and that foundation is Christ. And what should we do? Get rooted into that foundation. That's what you should do. Get rooted into that. Get firm down on that. Say, oh, it's just built up. No, it's not just built up. It's rooted. All right, let's say we're going to rebuild this building. Lord, help us. It's just an example. All right? I don't even want to use it now. I feel like I ruined it. The Lord help us here. All right. So let's say we're going to rebuild this building. All right. So what's it? What's underneath this carpet? Concrete. All right. Some of you were here for it, right? Poured all the concrete. All right. Now, we're going to go simplistic. I'm not going to go into like the plumbing in the bathroom, how it's inside the concrete and everything. Just hear me out. This is going to be like basic 101 construction. All right. We put down the concrete. What is that? That's the foundation. That's to put the building on something solid. That's what it is. And you have to prep the ground and all that kind of stuff, but you have the foundation. Well, you know what they don't do? They don't just start setting up walls and then say, all right, just hold it until we can get the other wall. Okay, now hold it because we got to put the trusses on it, and then we'll nail the trusses onto the wall. They don't do that. They put the wall up, and as they put the wall up, you know what they end up doing? They take long anchors, and they go through the wall into the foundation. You know what they do? They root these walls down to the foundation. Why? Because it needs to be stable. It needs to be stable. This building, of course, it's heavy, and there's drywall now, and there's a lot of wood, and there's a lot of different parts and pieces to it. But you know what they do? They use the stability of the foundation, and they attach the structure to it. They attach the structure to the foundation. And that's what we need as Christians. We need to be rooted into the foundation of Christ. We need to be rooted and grounded and what? And built up. And built up. Agricultural around here, right? Gardens and things growing. And what is that? You plant a seed. What do you do first? You put it in the ground. And then you sit there and wait for it. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. Something's going on. You can't see it. What's happening? It's rooting itself. It's going down first. It's rooting itself. And then when you see that little sprout, I mean, you know what it's like when the things you can see are the weeds, right? And what do you, okay, I'm going to pull the weeds out. And you go, well, you know how that goes. You don't want to just pluck the top off because in 5 seconds it'll be back and stronger than ever. You want to get the root. So you go down, you try to pull it out, and you're like, all right, come on. And then whoosh, out comes the root. I mean, these are just basic examples to understand we should be rooted in Christ, amen. Rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It says, well, let's turn to another. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 17. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. There it is again, rooted and grounded. What? It says this time, in love. Rooted and grounded in love. And what's that love based on? It's based on Christ. It's based on Christ, rooted and grounded in the faith. The love of Christ is part of the big picture of the faith. And we are to be rooted and grounded in those things. So that is really important. And then in Colossians chapter number 1, it says we are to be grounded and settled. Grounded and settled. All right, look in First Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 17. 1 Chronicles, we're in the mix of the Old Testament now. 1 Chronicles 17. Now this is the Lord talking to David, and he's making the promises to David that he's going to establish his throne and that he's going to take care of him. And he's talking about his son as well. So chapter 17, verse number 11. Chapter 17, 11. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. All right, so this idea of being settled, the Lord said, I'm going to settle his kingdom and in mine house. It's going to be settled there forever. It's settled. It's permanent. It's not uprooting and going all over the place all the time. It's settled. It's settled. Thy word is settled in heaven forever. It's settled there. It's placed there. Look in Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. Verse 25. Proverbs 8:25. Say, what does Paul mean when he says settled? What does the Bible mean when it says settled? Well, look up the other times it says settled and you'll figure it out. He says, I'm going to settle his kingdom forever. He said, my words are settled forever. Look what he says in verse chapter 8, verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. The mountains, you know, well, here it's the mountain, right? The mountain, the one that you can see, the mountain's out. Pretty, not going, it's not going anywhere, right? It's pretty, it's settled. It's settled where it is. Look in Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's better to look at it than hear me quote it wrong. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. And now we're going all the way to the back. If you can't, if you don't get there quick enough, it's okay. Just listen. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Settle you. Who helps settle you? God does. God does. He opens up the Word of God as you try to be rooted and grounded in the faith. It doesn't happen on accident. You have a part in this. This is you actively saying, Lord, I want to be rooted and grounded in the truth of your Word. And say, this is something that I need to do and I want to be established. What happens? God helps you in that. God helps you in that. Yes, there's a devil, and the Bible says here in Peter that he's looking for ways to devour you. And we're supposed to resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Why? Because the God of all grace, what's he going to do? He helps to establish us and strengthen us and settle us, and to be settled down. But it's important to do that. It's important to do it because, you know, well-intended Christians who just say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. You know, off we go. Read the Word of God sometimes when I need it. Come to church sometimes when I feel like being good. You know, whatever. Just going to do this stuff. Well, life's not waiting around for you. And the devil certainly is coming after you. And so what happens? It can be trials, it can be temptations, it can be sin, it can be a whole mess of things. And if you're not rooted and grounded and settled, what happens? Whoosh! That devil just comes by and doesn't take anything just to knock you right out of the path and off you go. And it's being settled and rooted and grounded in the faith. And that's what you and I need to be. Because the devil's not going to stop until the Lord comes back. He's going to be throwing stuff. Well, let's try this. That's what he did. Let's try this and see how off they go. Let's try this and see if we can get them off. Let's try this other thing. Let's put this at them. Let's tempt them with this thing. Let's allow this thing to go on. And, hey, I mean, when the winds blow, right, you know what those trees are like when the wind blows? Those things are all over the place. You can see the crops out there. I mean, when you see a wheat field out there and the wind blows and you see the waves going through that grain, it's bending and all kinds of stuff. The corn. Back in Pennsylvania, man, they corn, lots and lots and lots of corn. And man, you get in those cornfields and you get those big wind storms and rain come through and you just see them bowing. But what happens? Well, they're rooted and they're grounded. And all those crops and all those trees and everything else, you know what else? They're all when the more they're together, the more they're protected. Yeah. And so the more we're together and encouraging one another and in church and being beside each other and have those people that we can lean on and rely on, and all that just strengthens us for the Lord when we're rooted and grounded in the faith. And so we need to be that. You need to be that. You need to do what the Lord wants you to do continue in the faith, grounded and settled. It says, and be not moved away. That's what it says in Colossians 1, continuing on in the verse 23. and be not moved away. That happens to a lot of people. They get moved away from the faith. I need to go see here if I can find it before I tell you to go there. Galatians 5. Going off script, so now I'm like relying on memory. Dicey. Galatians 5. Look in verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now he's speaking to the Galatians specifically about the law. All right, now that's probably not a big snare for you and I. All right, knowing that we're saved by faith and through grace, by faith through grace of the Lord, to keep the law is probably not going to get you. If you have that stability, the Seventh-day Adventist should never come along and steal you away from a Bible-believing church. The Seventh-day Adventist should never come back and steal you away to convince you of the doctrine of keeping the Old Testament law, including the Sabbath. No. Baby Christians, maybe. But if you spent any time in the Word of God and being grounded and rooted and settled, that shouldn't get you. Amen. All right, why? Because you say, oh, wait a minute. Galatians, Romans, let me take you to some places, right? We have liberty in Christ, and Christ has made us free, has set us free, made us free, right, by the Scriptures. And so we can see that. But look what he says in verse 7. He says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? There's a lot of stuff out there. And if you're not grounded and settled in the Word of God and in the Scriptures, you'll be moved. You'll be moved away from the Scriptures. Something will come along and move you away from where you should be and where God has put you and where God has planted you and where God wants you to grow. Something will come along and move you away from that spot. It's a sports term, especially in football. It's a sports term where if somebody can move you out of your spot, that means something bad's going to happen. If you're trying to stop somebody from gaining yards in football, you need to be in your place. If you're not in your place, well, that's a place for them to gain yards. And so they'll say they moved him off the ball. They'll say a term like that. Why? Because you're supposed to have a space. And in this Christian walk, we're supposed to be grounded and settled, and we're supposed to have a place that God put us. And lots of things in this world can move you off of that place and get you out of there if you're not settled. And so it's important. It's important. It says in Colossians 1:23, it says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached. All right, so we have this hope of the gospel the Bible talks about. We're not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel which we have heard and which was preached, the Bible says, to every creature which is under heaven. You know, we're going to get into this next week. We're going to stop right there. We're going to actually stop on time is what we're going to do. All right. Just because I don't want to cover just a piece or part of this. I don't want to kind of give you the shortcut to then get back into it. So we'll talk about that. A couple different things here, of course, in this verse. And we want to make sure that we're clear on what the Bible's saying here in this scripture. So we're just going to go ahead and take a break right there. There's enough to chew on for being grounded and settled and making sure we're in the right place and doing what the Lord wants us to do. So let's stop there, and then next week we'll talk about that, the gospel and the hope of the gospel and those things that we need to